two things about marriage I wasn't prepared for. Actually, it's the same thing twice. Is I wasn't raised, like, I didn't have any sisters. The amount of hair that girls produce isn't. Brittany literally had to cut the hair out of our vacuum earlier this week.
Why are you telling this story? It's so embarrassing.
Because it was like slowing down our vacuum. Seriously.
No, okay, you're going to tell the story. It stopped our vacuum, okay? It's a problem. We've only been married like 8 months, and we've had that vacuum that long, and it almost destroyed our vacuum. So I spent an hour cutting my hair out of the brush wheel.
It was impressive.
It was great.
I was proud of her, honestly. That was cool. So we're going to talk about communication tonight. You're going to hear some stories. Please understand my version of these stories are correct and Brittany's is embellished. Okay.
Yeah, that's a lot.
So, there's obviously two versions of all of these, and mine, because I tend to be more fact driven, are definitely the correct versions of these stories.
Yeah.
Brittany has a lot of emotion in it. It kind of clouds the facts, and mine are fact driven. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
The first like unofficial date that we went on, we had been texting back and forth for a while. And how many of you guys have heard of the band 21 Pilots? Yeah, so I'm a huge 21 Pilots fan. And for the record, I'm the one who showed it to Brittany. She may claim otherwise. I was the one who found them first, which makes me the more hipster out of the two of us. And so hey, they're coming to Seattle. We should go. And I sent that out. You ever sent that text like out into nowhere? You're kind of committed to it, kind of hoping it works out okay, but you have a plan on how to back out of it if it doesn't, you know? And so I said, hey, we should go. And she sends back, yeah, that'd be awesome. And I was thinking in my head, like we would invite other people. And then all of a sudden we get like a week out and I realize no one else is coming. Oops, my bad. It's just the two of us.
Let's be honest. You did that intentionally.
Yeah. And so I came up here to meet with Taylor and Noel. I was actually speaking at something and I came up and Brittany was in the parking lot when I got here and I distinctly remember walking right past her. Like we're going to a concert together later that night. We had been texting all day and I see her. And I panicked. And I just blew, like, right past her. Like, didn't say anything, nothing.
No, I need to fully explain how this went down, okay?
Remember, facts, emotions.
No.
Just so.
Okay, all the ladies, hear me out, okay? So we have literally, at this point, been texting every single day. Like, we became really good friends, and then it became kind of apparent that, you know, there might be something more than friends. We're texting like multiple times a day, okay? Pretty consistently communicating with one another. So I knew he was coming up that day. We're meeting later that night. And he decided to come up early, hang out with Taylor, right? As he's pulling into the church parking lot, I'm walking out to my car just by happenstance. I'm like loading up stuff in my car. And I see his car pull in and I see him get out. And I'm thinking in my head, we haven't had like that many in-person interactions since we like really started talking a lot. Like, I should say hi to him. That's the normal thing to do. So I turn, and he's walking towards, like, I'm here. The car he's getting into is here. And I'm standing here. Hey, Ed. This is him. Gets in the car, shuts the door, drives away. And I'm like.
Yeah, I screwed that one up on it. That's my bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well.
I'm not bitter.
Yeah. I bought you a shiny ring. It's supposed to be
that's true.
For.
It's but, pretty great.
Like, you know, dating and communication and a lot of us, and especially in our generation, we are phenomenal communicators when we're not in person, right? And we do a great job at like being suave and sounding really cool and really wise and really deep when you're sending a text message, right? And then when it comes to being in person and you're talking to the person that you like, and side note, by the way, we'll talk about this in another message. Do not fall for the person who's texting you, right? Fall for the person you actually interact with. Fall for the person that you see face to face, because you will probably fall for a different person. Does that make sense? You can be anyone you want over text, and this is the other problem with text. And by the way, this is the problem with deep conversation over text, is the reader of the text gets to interpret the tone, right? And so if you're texting back and forth all the time and the person you're sending has a preset idea about where you guys are at in your relationship, then the determination is going to be, oh, we're headed towards something. You could be sending it completely platonic and neutral. But that's why deep conversations are better in person, right? And so I realized in that moment that I had done a great job being really cool over text message and had no idea how to talk to a girl in real life, right? And so this communication thing, I'll be honest, I am a lot worse at this than Brittany is, for sure. And so this journey has been a long one for us. Whether, like, at the beginning when we were just friends trying to figure out what the heck we were. And then I use the phrase the DTR, determine the relationship, right? Like, we did that in Olympia. I told that story when we started this series, and I just didn't know what to say. And so I just started talking, and then she didn't say anything for a really long time. And then I finally said, well, I'm just going to stop talking, right? And this is funny. She's like, well, you were saying all these nice things about me, and so I didn't want you to stop. Well, like, in my mind, I'm like, I delivered the facts to you. Like, it is now your job to respond back.
I'm not going
to
interrupt you.
I had stopped like 4 times.
Nice things about me.
I had stopped like 4 times.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, facts, maybe emotion, in your head. Whatever. So, but this is something that we've had to work on and grow in and really start to figure out. When you have your conversation about where are our standards for purity as we start dating, that's an awkward conversation to have. Like, hey, what's okay? What's not okay? You start talking about, okay, I think this might be the one. I think we might be headed towards marriage. You start having that conversation, and it's like, holy cow, I'm going to have to ask her, like, how many kids she wants, and I hope it's not 97, right? Like, we got to figure out, like, are you a dog or a cat person? Because if it's cats, I'm out. Like, I can't do it, you know? But these conversations that you have as you continue in your relationship, and even once you get married, like, we're 8 months in?
I think it's almost 9 months.
I don't know. We've been married for, like, less than a year, but longer than 6 months. We're in there somewhere. But, okay. Like, we...
It's engraved on your ring.
Yeah. What? Yeah, it's great. But I like...
Wow.
I have a repeating reminder in my phone for our anniversary every year. But we have to reach a point where we're willing to get better at this idea of communication. Now, write this down. Write this down. This is the first thing. This is a freebie before we get into our points tonight. Guys want to be honored. Girls want to be cherished.
Amen.
Guys want to be honored. Girls want to be cherished. Now, let me give you where we get this wrong. Guys try to communicate honor to girls because that's what they want. Girls try to communicate that they cherish to the guy because that's what they want. And we spend a lot of time wondering why don't they feel like I appreciate them? Why are they sending me signals that I'm missing it? It's because ultimately, and this is another key thing to remember in communication, ultimately, you must communicate in the way they receive it, not the way you choose to give it. You have to communicate in the way that they receive communication, not in the way that you want to try to give it. All right?
I'm gonna add to that really fast.
Yeah.
Please remember that if the person that you're dating or interested in needs communication differently than the way you need it, does not mean that they are wrong. Okay, that's a really easy place to go into our minds of, oh my gosh, they are totally messed up in how they communicate with me. No, it just means it's a different style. And if you really care about the health of your relationship with that person, honestly, even if it's just a friendship or with your family members, learn how the people in your world that are important to you need to be communicated with and be okay shifting that in yourself so that they hear what you mean. Okay.
What do you mean? Good
what
job,
do you mean?
Babe.
Which is the title of our message tonight.
All right, here's our scripture, Matthew 12. Go to Matthew 12. And we'll start in verse 33. Matthew 12, verse 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of what fills the heart. You underline in your Bible or highlight in your app, I'd suggest you do that. Verse 34. For the mouth speaks out of what fills the heart. Verse 35. The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good. And the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. Verse 36, but I tell you that every careless word that people speak, you will give an account for it on the day of judgment. Verse 37, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. What we want to portray tonight is generally an inability to communicate well with the people you love has a whole lot more to do with your heart and an issue down in there than it does in their inability to understand you. Does that make sense? A lot of times our issues with communication, our tone, the words we use, how we communicate, especially to the people that we love, if there is a deficit there, more often than not, it has to do with me, not with them.
Yeah. Can I say something really fast about some stages of dating? So you talked about the DTR. I want to back up for a second, okay? Guys, does everyone know what we mean when we say DTR? Does anyone not know that beautiful term? Okay, it's define the relationship, right? We all have heard it and or used it. I make fun of it because it's just funny. But at the start of any dating relationship, you're going to have some sort of DTR, or at least you should, right? You guys tracking with me? Okay, good. Guys, please initiate this conversation. Do not.
Oh, more Lord,
do
yes.
not. Please.
So wise.
Do not. Just keep it coming.
Yeah.
Don't leave a girl hanging. Okay? If you are interested, speak up. She's not going to wait around forever. Preach. Girls. Where are my girls at? You hear me? Girls. Girls. Chill the flip out. And let him initiate the conversation.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm saying this from experience because I'm going to be honest. When we were in the season of being friends and I knew I was interested, but I had no frame of reference at all for where he stood because he's like a rock with emotion. And, you know, I didn't have the tools yet to knock on that. So I'm just waiting. But here's the flip side. I'm about to compliment you.
Thank you.
The flip side. No, for real. I'm really, really, really looking back. At the time, it was like a roller coaster for me. But I'm so thankful that Ed was as intentional as he was at not opening that door in my heart until he knew that he knew that he knew that he was ready to make it official. And so please be careful, especially over text, like Ed said earlier. Please be careful how much you open that door. Girls, it's the same thing. Okay, be careful. I'm thankful that Ed didn't even respond to some of the text messages that I would send him or the sassy things I would say, because it would have opened this door into my heart of that he was ready for something that he wasn't sure about yet. And so, guys, protect the girls in your world with that, even the girls that are friends with you. Don't cross that boundary. Okay, be aware of that. But when you do realize that there's mutual interest, you're wanting more than just being friends, have the conversation. Have it. Be intentional with it. And then make it official. Okay? I like to move beyond that into what we call Facebook official. Yeah? You kind of talk about like, oh, all right, we're together. Now it's time to tell the world. Post it on Facebook. Post it on our profiles. Oh, yeah, I agree. We're dating. That's great.
Just don't put taken by on your Instagram bio. Because I feel like you got kidnapped. I don't understand.
Nah.
Like... Were you willingly taken? Like, blink twice. Do I need to come save you? Like, I don't get. And by the way, girls.
Where's Liam Neeson?
Girls. Where's Liam Neeson? Girls, guys do not know when you're trying to let them know that you like them. We don't. We really don't. I remember I was like, Brittany asked why it took me so long to ask her out on that day.
After spending a full day with you waiting for you
to say
something.
Yeah, and I said it's because I didn't know if you liked me. And she said, I've been sending you signals for months. And I was like, I didn't.
How much more obvious do you want me to get, bro?
Say something.
I didn't give up on you.
Yeah, oh, there you go.
There it is.
Yeah, but communication is important. Let's give you some keys now. Let's start giving you some keys to this idea of communication.
So here's some things. So we kind of got two parts of this tonight, okay? So we've got some pitfalls that we've learned and want you guys to avoid in any kind of communication, whether it's with the person that you're dating or whether it's with friends or family. Okay, these are applicable in everything, every relationship you have in your life. Okay, number one. So these are tendencies that all of us have in one form or another when it comes to communicating with people. All of us, depending on our experiences, right, and the way that we were raised or just different things that we experience, we have different walls that kind of shoot up depending on what kind of communication we're facing in the moment or what kind of stressful situation it is, okay? So number one, write this down, placating. Placating. I'll spell it for you.
P-L-A-C-A-T-I-N-G.
Boom.
Placating.
Genius. Okay, I'm going to explain what I mean by this. Placating is when you play the martyr. Does everyone know what I mean when I say the martyr? Okay, placating is when you are almost always the first one to take fault for something, even when it is not your fault. Okay, the reason that people do this is because they want to please people. They want to avoid conflict and keep the peace at all costs. Okay, being real, I am this person. I placate. Never knew this about myself until I started dating. Figured it out quickly. I don't know why, but I am a peacemaker. So even when I'm frustrated about something, I will try and stuff it down to avoid there being conflict. I hate conflict. I'm thankful I've learned to deal with conflict, but it's not my natural tendency. I'm not like, I'm going to deal with this right now. I love having tough conversations. No, I hate it. Okay? I want to keep the peace no matter what. These placators tend to say things like, okay, whatever you want. Don't worry about me. I'll be okay. Make sense? Okay? So, placator. Placators need to understand. So, if this is you, if you're kind of like, I think I'm that person, you need to understand that it is okay to disagree. Okay? There's nothing wrong with not agreeing 100% of the time. The way that you navigate that is important, and we'll get to that in a second, okay? So number one, placating. Second thing to avoid when it comes to communication is blaming. Blaming. Okay, so blamers are the ones that are quick to find fault in other people. They very rarely see their part in the fault, but they're quick to see the fault in others around them. They tend to say things like big, broad statements like, you never do anything right, you never listen to me, you're just like your mom, or you're just like your dad, or fill in the blank, right? They tend, this is the interesting part, is they tend to actually feel unloved and that they're not worthy. So that's something to keep in mind if you tend to identify with that. They struggle with feeling pain and expressing their fear, so it comes out in blaming others because they don't know how to be vulnerable in the fact that they're afraid in that moment, okay? Blamers need to learn to speak for themselves without blaming others in the process, okay? So owning their part. Okay, so number one, placating. Number two, blaming. Number three, computing. Computing, like computer. Computers are, I don't mean the machine computers, but communicators that are like this. They're super reasonable, calm and collected. They never admit mistakes, and they expect people to conform and perform. Okay, they're afraid of emotion. They say things like, upset? I'm not upset. Why would you say I'm upset? Kind of passive aggressive, right? Got a little bit of that tendency. Computers need someone to ask them how they feel about specific things. It can't be a general statement, how do you feel? But they need someone that they trust to say, hey, this happened. How are you doing with that? How are you processing that?
So in Brittany and I's relationship, she's a placator. I am someone who computes stuff. I'm really, really logic driven. So when Brittany is struggling, she doesn't hide it very well. So my immediate response is, let's find a reasonable way to fix her issue. And my issue is I don't give room for emotion. And Brittany's right. I'm really stoic, right? So when I am having an issue with something, it's funny. We both have to drag it out of each other, but the question we ask is really different, right? So when I look at Brittany and go, what's wrong? Nothing. What's wrong? Nothing. Brittany, you're crying. What's wrong? Okay, I'm going to tell you, right? When Brittany asks me, hey, Ed, she'll know that something is generally, she kind of knows the list of things that get under my skin, and she'll just start listing them off, right? Are you frustrated that you haven't had, like, alone time, introvert time in a while? Yeah, that's probably it, right? Or, hey, are you hungry? Like, that's generally a place that she starts to.
All right. Hangry is a real thing, okay? Yeah. We have found, this is a real statement, okay? Do not laugh this off. We have found that when we get into the most tense arguments between us, which doesn't happen a lot, but if it's like after church and we haven't eaten anything all morning, we both just usually look at each other and we're like, we need to eat some lunch. And then we'll talk about this again. So just saying it's a real thing.
Or sleep. One of the two. Yes. If you are sleep deprived or hungry, it's not the time to argue.
No.
Right? Not the time to have a tough conversation.
No. Yeah. So three, computing. Last one, four, pitfalls to avoid is distracting. Okay. These kind of people, they avoid dealing with a real issue and stressful situations. Okay. So these are people you would tend to see in a stressful moment be like, we're not arguing. Let's go shopping. Like, they just want to avoid the situation altogether, no matter the cost. Okay. They often avoid direct eye contact and direct answers. They're quick to change the subject. They want to avoid a fight no matter what. These people need to know that they're safe, they're not helpless, and that resolution is possible, okay? Even if you get into a fight, there's still resolution at the end of that, okay? You work through it. So those are some four pitfalls to kind of honestly ask yourself, where do I fall in these categories? Where do I lean to? And what do I need to realize about my communication style and make some adjustments there? Okay, so this next part, rules for successful communication. Here's what to do.
So first one in what to do is to make I statements instead of you statements.
Yes.
Make I statements instead of you statements. No one enjoys hearing you never do this for me, right? You never, you always. That I refer to those as kitchen sink statements, right? It's like you're standing in your kitchen arguing with a person, take up the kitchen sink and chuck it at their head, right? If you do that, they're going to respond. Our natural psychological response to when someone puts us in a box, you always or you never, our natural response is to defend ourselves. So we in essence make statements saying we want to argue about this. And generally that's something that we do when it's an issue. Remember, communication, lack of communication usually starts with an issue within me, right? And so this is the funny thing, is if we're going to use the you never or you always, that means we haven't let them know that it bugs us yet. If we are so frustrated about the fact that they are constantly doing something, there's a good chance that we haven't stood up for ourselves to mm-hmm. this point and said, hey, I really don't like it when you do that,
yeah.
Right? I would enjoy going out more is a better response than you never take me out.
Yeah. Let me give you an example from our story. Okay, I'm going to tell on myself. I tend to sometimes run just a little bit behind schedule, just like a hair. Not often, but just sometimes, right? Ed, however, falls on the other spectrum, and he would rather just be early to everything, which to me just seems like a waste of time. But that's our difference, okay? So in moments of frustration, it would be easy for us to throw statements out at each other like, you are always late to everything. You make us late to everything. Or me, you're always rushing me. You never just let me have a relaxed morning, right? Those are kind of easy statements to say in tense moments, okay? And what we've had to kind of learn, and I remember when Ed said this to me the first time about this issue, and he said to me one day, Brittany, when you're late, it makes me feel rushed and like we're not respecting the people that we're about to go see. And that, to me, instantly pulled me out of the moment of feeling like, gosh, he's rushing me all the time. Can't he just chill out? To realizing this goes beyond just him like wanting to be early. This is a respect issue to him. And this is communicating that I don't value his time or the people that we're about to go see, even though that wasn't my intention. Does that make sense? There's a complete different approach when you approach with, hey, when you do this, it makes me feel this. It automatically turns your partner's view to being caring in that moment versus defensive. Make sense?
Yeah, it allows you to dispense information rather than hurl accusation.
Yep.
So you want to use I and we, right? Remember, it takes two to tango. I and we instead of you, always, never, right? Second one is this. Shut up and listen.
Please.
Shut up and listen. James 1:19, be slow to speak and quick to listen. See, there's a difference between hearing something and listening. I did this earlier today. Brittany was telling me important information, and it was really important. I have the capacity to listen, to hear, and do something else, right? My teacher was, I was always frustrated. Ed, what did I say? You were distracted. And I could repeat it right back to them, right? Now, there's a difference between hearing and listening. Listening is active. Hearing is passive. That's why you can do something and hear it, right? You can be doing two things. But listening takes all of your senses and being engaged. Guys, let me give you a tool of the trade. Listen and be quiet and ask questions, yes. Right? I am a fixer. That is my natural tendency. When Brittany comes to me and says, I'm struggling with this, my natural tendency is to hear. And as I'm hearing, I'm already coming up with a response that can fix it. And it has taken me a long time to decide, no, I'm just going to actively listen to her. And then when she's done, I don't have to do anything most of the time. Brittany is an independent, like, capable woman. She can fix most of the stuff that she's telling me about. And if she wants my help, she will ask for it. Generally, if I'm listening, I'll hear, I don't know what to do. Can you help me find out what to do? But if I'm just hearing and already have a response, then I've completely missed the reason why Brittany brought it up to me in the first place.
Yeah. How many of you guys have seen that YouTube video? It's called It's Not About the Nail. And it's the couple talking. Okay, a few of you have seen it. I'll summarize the video for you. It's this couple sitting on the couch together and they're talking. And this girl's like pouring out her heart to, you know, whoever she's dating, this guy. And she's talking just about, man, there's so much pressure in my head and I don't know what to do about it. And I just, she's like just sharing her emotions, just, and then it pans over and there's a nail sticking into her forehead. And the guy is like, but there's a nail in your forehead. I think if you just took it out, it would relieve all of the pressure. And the girl's like, it's not about the nail. It just starts like going off on him. But it communicates just the true differences between listening and hearing. And, you know, that we make fun of that because it's true. Girls sometimes just need to like blab about something and guys are like, okay, there's a solution right in front of you, but you don't want to hear it. And they get frustrated. And then girls get frustrated because the guy is not listening to what they're saying. They're just trying to give them a solution, right? So there's balance on both sides for sure. But Just remember that there's a lot of respect that's communicated on both sides when you genuinely learn to listen and aren't just waiting to say what you have been waiting to say when they're done. Does that make sense?
I have quickly learned the greatest value and act of generosity you can give to any human is to listen. That is the first and richest gift you could give to anyone. Because when we listen, we're communicating value. I value you enough to pause everything that I'm doing and move from hearing to listening and engaging you. Keep eye contact with the person you're talking. Like, this is really simple. Guys, you want to get a girl's attention? Keep eye contact with her. Like, seriously, be a grown-up and just make eye contact, right? How about another one? Learn to ask questions. I have seen more guys shoot themselves in the foot because when a girl walks up and starts talking to them, they're like, well, I can bench press this much and I make this much money and I've done this, that, and the other thing. And it's like, bro, pull something out of her. Ask a question, right? Learn to ask good questions. Why do you feel that way? What can I do to help? Is there anything I can do to help make this better? What's one thing we can do to move past this? What have you learned through this? Or even a simple one. Hey, how was your day? And then stop and listen. It's so funny to me that the thing that we do as Americans the most is ask the question, how are you doing? And it's the quickest question we brush past. And I found myself doing this to Brittany, right? I knew when we got home or when we finished work and we were back together again for the evening, I've learned to pause and say, how was your day? And listen. We have to be willing to care more about the other person and pulling out what's going on with them than quickly vomiting what's wrong with me, right? And that is generally what we want to do. Or have you ever had a conversation with someone who's like a one-upper, right? Like, hey, dude, this one time this happened. And the guy's like, oh, yeah, well, I did that 3 times and I died once during it, right? Don't be that person in the relationship, right? Hey, I had a really bad day. You had a bad day? I had a worse day than you did. No. Stop, engage, listen. Number three is this. Healthy communication. Number three, watch your tone. Watch your tone. Proverbs 15:1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. I will be honest, because I am pretty logic-based in how I respond to things. When Brittany comes to me with an issue and I respond without emotion, it's not what I said, it's how I said it. And this is a big lesson that we need to learn. We have to watch how we're saying what we're saying. We could say the right thing the wrong way. It is therefore the wrong thing to say.
Guys, let me give you a hint with this. This is a big, big, big deal for girls. Tone is everything. Guys are pretty quick, just like Ed was saying. They're pretty, most of the time, logical, straightforward, like give you the facts. They don't really respond a lot to tone. Some guys do, but a lot of guys don't. Girls are very just emotion driven in general. We pick up on emotions very quickly. And so if there's any kind of like harshness in your tone, or even if you don't intend it, we pick up on that really fast. And so that was something that was probably one of the first things that we worked through after we got married, because after a long day, you know, like if I'm asking Ed a question or something like that, and he responds just in a very like straightforward, like just non-emotional, not emotional, but just a quick response or a little bit short, that really affects me for some reason. And I really, really, it negatively affects me. And so just be aware of your tone. You know, if you've had a long day or something like that, and your girlfriend's asking you questions or wanting to talk to you, if you're not in that space, that's okay. But just pause for a moment and say, hey, I really want to talk to you about my day, but I need a couple moments to unwind before I talk. Is that okay? And then come back to her when you're ready. Okay. Don't say that and don't come back, because that will just communicate something even worse. But if you need that time, then communicate that. Don't just blow her off or be sharp or short with her. You muted yourself.
I muted myself. I rarely do that. Don't pass your frustration with a situation onto your significant other. I realize I do this. There are times when my job is stressful, right? And I will call Brittany because I'm stressed and I need advice, and my tone is passing the frustration of the moment to her. And we have to be really, really careful to make sure that if you are going to communicate something, make sure you're doing it in the right tone. Brittany put this point in here because she wants to talk about it. The next point is this: know the difference between men and women. Know the difference between men and women.
Yes. Understand the difference and accept the differences. Some of you might remember when I spoke a couple months back and I talked about girls' brains versus guys' brains, and girls have big spaghetti pot brains with spaghetti noodles running all into each other, and one thought turns into another thought, and it turns into 5 more thoughts, and then it turns into 15 thoughts and 30 thoughts, and all my girls in the room say, hey, yo, that's me, right? Just is a constant like noodle-brained mess, right? Where guys' brains, they're like waffles, okay? They're these nice little boxes that are all kind of just stacked together, and they can pop in from one box to the next box, and they can turn off a box when they go to the next box, okay? And the brain styles are just different. This is generalities. If you're like lean more towards the one way, Ed's a little bit of both. Like, he's kind of spaghetti brained and waffled. Like, he can turn off his brain. I want, for just 1 hour, I would love, the greatest gift I feel like God could bestow on me is to 1 hour experience what it feels like to be able to turn my brain off. There'll be sometimes when we're driving, and I don't really ask this question a lot, I don't feel like, what are you thinking right now? But sometimes I do, just because I want to know if he's actually thinking about nothing. And when he tells me that, I'm like, I want to experience this phenomenon. So guys, Revel in your ability to do that, because it's not possible for girls. Okay. The noodles never shut up. Even in our dreams, okay, they're just constantly going and reproducing themselves, okay? So just revel in that, because it's a beautiful thing. I don't know why the Lord didn't. It's because freaking Eve ate the apple, I'm convinced.
Well, it's because when I'm in nothing, one of us still needs to be responsible.
Yeah.
And so that's
forget
why.
Forget that. That's stupid. It's dumb.
It is really nice, honestly, to be able to think about nothing.
Oh, gosh, don't talk to me right now. Okay, so understand that there's some significant differences in the way that guys and girls' brains work, right? And like we've been talking about this whole time, there's just differences in communication styles. Okay, get to know that, understand that about, you know, general differences between guys and girls, but also just come to understand the differences between you and your significant other and appreciate those things. You know, you don't have to be just like them. In fact, if you're just like them, it's going to get weird and boring real fast. So opposites attract for a reason. I'm just saying, you need people to help fill in the gaps and your weaknesses, right? So understand those things and accept them. Be okay with them. Don't be constantly frustrated that your girlfriend or boyfriend needs different things than you do. Figure out how to respond to those things and be okay with it. Learn to let it be something that you enjoy doing because it's different than what you might need. Okay?
Britt, here's an example. I'm an introvert and I need alone time, right? And alone time means me by myself time, right? Like I have to go do something else away from all of humanity. And that is the way that I recharge, all right?
Literally.
Brittany is huge on quality time. So if she's not doing something, she wants to be with me because I'm pretty awesome, right? But this is the thing that I've had to realize, all right? I'm a gift giver. And I find security in as a man, but I also try to communicate my care and honor and cherishment of Brittany through giving her gifts, right? And so I learned really quick I could give her gifts all the time, but if I'm distracted while I'm giving them, I'm not accomplishing anything, right? And the greatest gift I could give her is just literally being present with her, right? Because my being present with her, guys, this is something you need to be aware of. If you have a girlfriend who is questioning why you're out all the time, it's probably because she's low on feeling cherished, all right? Yep. I can go for the most part, I can go shooting, I can go golfing, I can go hang out with the guys. Why? Because Brittany knows that she trumps all of that other stuff. I am working really, really, really hard to show that I cherish Brittany. One of the ways I do that is on date night, I give her my phone. Because that communicates that I'm fully with her. That communicates quality time, right? When I'm home in the evening, I don't work most of the time. I tend to be a workaholic a little bit. But I try not to work, right? I'm present with her. If you're doing a good job cherishing your woman, then there will be very little things that she feels insecure about you doing. Now, girls, to your guy. If your guy is constantly asking you to affirm him, right? Constantly, hey, I notice you're spending, like, you made eye contact with that other guy for like 30 seconds, and I just am not okay with it, right? Hey, you said something really nice to him. Why don't you ever say nice things to me? There's a chance that he's feeling low on honor, right? Girls, you need to build up your man. You need to be communicating, hey, you are the strongest guy I know. Hercules, Hercules, right? You need to be communicating.
Please say that.
Ed said to say this. This is going to be awkward. Just, no. You need to be communicating honor.
Yeah.
And if you're doing that well, then you are really beginning to understand the difference between men and women.
Yeah.
All right?
Two books to read. Seriously, write these down. Number one, this is where a lot of our material is coming from tonight. It's a book called How to Save Your Marriage Before It Starts. Read that. Okay? Number two, read the book called Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. It will tell you so much about the differences between men and women and how they can work together. It's kind of weird the way he writes it at first, but it's got really good material in it. Okay? Read those.
Last two thoughts. First one is this. Know which mountain to die on. Know which mountain to die on. Proverbs 18:2, a self-confident fool has no delight in understanding, but only in revealing his personal opinions and himself. A self-confident fool has no delight in understanding, but joys in expressing their own opinion. A lot of relationships end on stuff that they shouldn't. A lot of relationships give up because two people are unwilling to meet in the middle. It does not matter what type of popcorn they like, all right? Doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter what color kitchen cabinet they want, right? Really doesn't matter. It, a lot of that stuff, it really just doesn't matter. If it comes down to their opinion on God and you differ, talk that out. If it comes on down on a value of family, talk that out. If it comes down on a value of church, talk that out. Purity, talk it out. You have to know which mountains to die on. I have seen so many relationships go through tough times because two people are unwilling to just admit that this is stupid, that we are arguing about this. It is so, honestly, it's funny. Like, it's funny. Brittany and I have had to learn this, right? We will be having a conversation. All right, here's one. Brittany is really loud when she eats popcorn. Like, really loud.
I really am not.
And it, yes, you are. And it bugs me so much. That is not a mountain for me to die on. It's not worth it, right? So we just turn the TV up a little louder, right? It's not a mountain. It's not a mountain worth dying on, right?
You make me sound like I'm a machine.
Love okay. You. But
I could tell some stories.
Okay, we're just going to move on. Know which mountain to die on. Last one is this. It's never too late to say sorry. It's never too late to say sorry.
It's too late to apologize.
Yeah, there you go. It's never too late to say sorry. Here's a question to ask yourself. Here's a question to ask yourself. Do I value being right over a healthy relationship? Do I value being right over a healthy relationship? And I would encourage you, before you start dating someone, observe them through that angle.
Yep.
When it comes to someone's interaction with their friends, here's another great place to see it, on Facebook, right? Or on social media. We all have that friend that decides that they are going to stand up for whether or not the dress was green or gold on Facebook, right?
No, it's blue.
All right, whatever. But people argue. Like, I have friends, and I'll see someone post something controversial. Actually, this is even funnier. Generally, they are the one who posts the controversial statement on Facebook, eliciting an argument because they value being right over being in a relationship. And I would encourage you, if that is something that they are, and you are entering into a relationship with that person, get used to arguing. If they have not learned that before they start dating you, they will not learn it while they date you. Or you're going to have to throw down an ultimatum and say, hey, either you figure this out or it's over. You need to be willing to say sorry.
And when you go to say sorry, please do not be the kind of person that just says sorry out of obligation but doesn't really mean it. If you're going to apologize to somebody, you better mean it. And you better own your piece of it. It doesn't mean that you necessarily carry the entire fault, but own your part of it and apologize for that and move on. There is nothing worse than somebody who says sorry just because they feel obligated, and then they're still carrying around this chip on their shoulder about a situation that the other person thinks they've already moved on from. Okay, don't be that person. Mean it. Mean what you say.
Yeah, and when you say sorry, don't put any contingencies on it. A lot of times we keep a scoreboard in relationship. I call it brownie points, right? If I do something right, then I'm adding to the brownie points. And that means I can do something wrong and then cash in on the brownie points later, right?
This is not a foolproof system.
No, it's not. It bit me really hard when we first got married. But this is the thing that you need to realize. Saying sorry means it will change. Yep. Saying sorry means it will change. If you are saying sorry consistently for the same character flaw, that is not okay. If you are saying sorry consistently for the consistent same issue, that is not okay. And if you are dating someone, and please understand, there's grace, forgiveness, you work things out, and you continue working forward. But if you have gone around the same mountain over and over and over and over and over again with someone, to the point where you can anticipate their behavior and know they're probably going to do this, and then they're going to come and say sorry, you need to stand up for yourself. You really do. You need to say, hey, listen, this is not okay. And you keep saying sorry, but things aren't changing. So really what you're not saying is sorry. Really what you're asking for is a pardon to do it again. If you really meant that you were sorry, the repentance part of sorry means that you're going to turn around and walk the other direction. The things are really going to change. So do not say sorry if you do not intend to change. If you are going to say this is a mountain I'm going to die on, then declare it that. Instead of saying sorry to appease and hope that they're just going to at some point become okay with that behavior.
Yeah.
If you're going to say sorry, you have to mean it and you have to be willing to change.
Yeah. I want to challenge each one of us. You know, we talked about a lot of different points as far as communication tonight. And every single person in here is in a different place in, you know, a stage of a relationship. Maybe you're dating, maybe you're not dating, maybe you've been dating a long time, maybe you just started dating. Wherever you're at in those stages, please ask yourself some tough reflective questions. Where do you see your tendencies in these things? You know, especially for those of you that are single, please don't wait to figure this stuff out until you start dating. Please capitalize on the time now. Become the best version of yourself right now, where you're at, where you're working, where your family's at, whatever it is that you have in your world right now. Use that to reflect and understand about yourself. Okay, I'm a placator. What do I need to do to recognize that and change that when I'm in a relationship? Ask yourself, what are my tendencies? Where do I lean? Make sense?
Yeah, and then believe me, your friends will be honest with you about which one you do. Yep. So if you're single, go to your friends and say, hey, when we're in a disagreement, what do I tend to do? Well, you tend to be a jerk. All right, I'm going to work on that. Well, you tend to just bow over and just be run over by everybody else. Okay, I'm going to work on that. And if you're in a relationship, please take the time to learn about your significant other and really learn to communicate in the way that they receive healthy communication. This literally will make or break your relationship.
Yeah.
It will. This is the backbone. This, along with standing for your purity before you get married, those two things will make or break your relationship. Mm-hmm. Your ability to be open and honest and communicate, and then your ability to hold a standard and keep it. Those are two things that if you take those broken into marriage, the first year of marriage is going to be a tough one.
Yeah.
But if you're willing to work on these now and then enter into a dating relationship where this is stuff that gets worked on, then the first year of marriage is going to be really awesome. Like when Brittany and I were going through pre-marriage counseling, we got so frustrated with people who said the first 5 years are really tough. It's like, don't tell me, like, don't declare that to me.
Don't buy into that crap.
Yeah, don't
Please
buy
don't.
Into that. If you get this stuff down, then marriage can be really awesome. Not only that, but dating can be really awesome.
Yeah.
And it can be really fun.
I'm going to add to that just for 3 seconds. Okay. Please do not buy into that statement, because marriage is what you make it. Your relationship is what you make it. If you are intentional with what you bring to the table and what you expect from that person, it will be awesome. Okay. The first year of marriage does not have to be hard unless you make it hard by not dealing with this stuff now. Okay.
Let's wrap up. Why don't you bow your heads, close your eyes real quick. I just want to pray for us. Hey, no one's looking around. If you are realizing that you stink at communication, if you are realizing that you are not good at communication, I'm not going to call you forward, embarrass you or anything like that. Can you just put your hand on your heart? I just want to pray for you tonight. If you are realizing, wow, I stink, whether with my friends, my families, my significant other, whoever it is, cool. Yeah, all right. We all, if we're being honest, have an issue in this area. I'm going to pray and believe that God's really going to help us grow in this. God, we thank you so much for your Holy Spirit, that it comes and makes bright in our lives the areas where we need to make improvement. And I pray over the next week, as we're just considering this idea of communication and where we fall short and where we can improve, I pray the Holy Spirit would make bright in our lives those areas. So then we can go and get help and grow and change. And we thank you, God, so much that with you, we can grow and change in areas that have been patterns and struggles for us for our whole life. God, with you, we don't have to accept the same old love. With you, we don't have to accept the way things have always been. We don't have to accept the tendencies and traditions of our family. We don't have to accept any of that. But with you, we really can begin to change from the inside out so we can see change that is really consistent. And honestly, so some of us can change the tradition when it comes to love for our whole family. And I pray for people who are dating that there would be some healthy conversation over the next couple weeks about how are we doing with communication and how can we improve. And we thank you so much that you're working in all of us and changing all of us. We love you for it. In your name. Amen.
Amen. Hey, you might have noticed when you came in, as we're getting ready to leave, these envelopes on your seats. Okay, I want to explain what these are really fast. These are One Heart offering envelopes. I'm going to explain. On the inside, there is this pledge card that you'll see, okay? I want to encourage each one of us, take this home with you tonight. What this is our entire church, Real Life Church, is raising money currently to do some improvements on our building, specifically in our kids and school wing that has the original building since the 1970s, right? It hasn't been updated. There's a lot of classrooms that are just falling apart, duct tape holding the carpet together. It's just not a good learning environment, and it's not stimulating for the kids that are here on Sundays. So we're working really hard as a church to raise funds for that, as well as some improvements that need to be made with audio and sound in our sanctuary and some bathroom updates and stuff like that. The cool thing is we're partnering with our Kids for Change fundraiser that's happening right now that's benefiting Vine Maple Place in the community. And 10% of the money that we raise as a church for this One Heart offering will go straight to Vine Maple Place to benefit their new Hope Center that's bringing hope to homeless families in our community that need resources. So really, really cool thing to be a part of. We talk about generosity here a lot at UDYA. We don't often tend to promote things from within our own church, but this is something we believe in as a church, coming together, having one heart, one vision, one mission going forward. And we here at UDYA are part of this church, right? Whether you call another church home on Sundays, I would encourage you to think and pray, ask God, what part should I play in this? What are you leading me maybe to give? And what can I pledge to be part of this? You can turn these pledge cards in at any time from now over the next couple of months. We'll be having our annual vision night on May 22nd. It's a big party. We have just a blast. There's a ton of food and dancing and all that stuff. So I'd encourage you to come out to that. That's where we'll be taking the big culmination of this offering and turning in all of these offerings that people have pledged. You can turn in your offering in this envelope at any point over the next couple of months, but can we take these home and just pray over it and think about maybe what God's leading you to be a part of in this? Can we do that? Cool. Thank you so much, guys. Love having you here. Enjoy some coffee out there, ping pong. We'll see you next week.